to the town of Alfrey, who rode a stranger one fine day. Hardly spoke to folks around him, didn't have too much to say. No one dared to ask his business, no one dared to make a slip. The stranger there among them had a big iron on his hip, big iron on his hip. It was early in the morning when he rode into the town. He came riding from the south side, slowly looking all around. He's an outlaw loose and running, came the whisper from each lip. And he's here to do some business with a big iron on his hip, big iron on his hip. In this town there lived an outlaw by the name of Texas Red. Many men had tried to take him, and that many men were dead. He was vicious and a killer, though a youth of 24, and the notches on his pistol numbered 1 in 19 more. 1 in 19 more. Now the stranger started talking, made it plain to folks around. Was an Arizona ranger, wouldn't be too long in town. He came here to take an outlaw back alive or maybe dead. And he said it didn't matter, he was after Texas Red, after Texas Red. Wasn't long before the story was relayed to Texas Red. But the outlaw didn't worry, men the tribe before were dead. 20 men had tried to take him, 20 men had made a slip. 21 would be the ranger with a big iron on his hip, big iron on his hip. The morning passed so quickly, it was time for them to meet. It was 11:20 when they walked out in the street. Folks were watching from the windows, everybody held their breath. They knew this handsome ranger was about to meet his death, about to meet his death. There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the ranger is still talked about today. Texas Red had not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the ranger's aim was deadly with a big iron on his hip, big iron on his hip. It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with...
Well, there you go, with a big iron on his hip, and that was one of my favorite oldies of Marty Robbins. Yeah, that was back in the days when you could... bushwhack and backshoot and all that kind of good stuff. Yes, sirree. Be quiet, Jerry the Jew. Get back in your cage. We're not letting you out until we get done with this experiment. Igor, you're standing on my damn toe. Get off, okay? Oh, don't tell Igor what to do, Jew. Get back in the cage. Yeah, this is White Aryan Resistance Radio. P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. Our big website is resist.com, and there you can download all kinds of radio shows, information, all kinds of goodies you can purchase from war. And when you send your subscriptions in, as you better do it real quick, because I got the evil eye on you, $30 per year in the United States, $30, and it's $40 in Soviet Kanukistan, that's up there in Canada, and it's $50 everywhere else around this old mud-covered world, and you need to write your checks or your money orders to John Metzger, that's right, John Metzger, and make sure they're in dollars. Don't send them to me in some of these other countries' currency or Yes, because we've had problems from time to time. Yes, we have. So make it all an international money order in dollars. And, of course, you can pay by PayPal. Now, these radio shows, like I say, you can download them in MP3, and also you can catch them by streaming for you people who have computers, and at resist.com. And we are on the air on the whiteplanet.com service, at whiteplanet.com, and we're on Mondays and Thursdays at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock Pacific time, that's 9 o'clock Eastern time, and those shows are running on a regular basis now with whiteplanet.com. Now we've got the new copy of Siege in, a hardbound book with a great looking cover. We've only got a dozen or so of those that we've been allowed to have. Unfortunately, the price is pretty high on them because the people who put the book out in a small quantity, I think they only printed 500, are wanting us to sell it for $45, so we're going to stick to that for now. But it's well worth it because Siege is a great book, and if you haven't read it, you should read it. It was put out here about 10 years ago, 15 years ago now, and it was a collection of essays by James Mason. James Mason was a National Socialist, and he was in the Revolutionary National Socialist movement, and he was one of the first to break with the traditional right wing and move into a revolutionary orientation. So that's and he was doing that years ago. So that's a book you should get. And then the hot new book 100 Little Hitlers is out by Miss Langer, Eleanor Langer. That's quite an interesting revelation on the trial of Chom and John Metzger, the civil trial in Portland, Oregon. And it's a $20 bill for that hardcover book. And watch for her in the newspapers. Eleanor Langer is now beginning to tour the country, appearing at various places. I believe she was in San Jose the other day. She'll be in L.A. tomorrow and all over the place. So anyhow, watch for her. And if you're near where she's going to be speaking or giving a lecture, well, attend it and ask your own questions about the notorious Metzger civil trial in Portland. Don't forget your Urban Survival Manual, put together by War. That's $12. It's getting thicker and thicker. And if you don't have one of these Urban Survival Manuals, you're running down the street naked as far as I'm concerned. The Tom Metzger biography is available for a $20 bill also, and that was the biography up until the early 90s. And one of these days, we'll probably have to add more to that one. We have the Might is Right book, and that is $20, and that's something that you should keep as your holy book. How about that? And if you'll go to our website or get a copy of our paper, and you can have a sample of our newspaper for a $3 donation in dollars, please. And there are advertisements for our rings and our flags and all that type of material inside the paper. So here we go. I think that I hear Dr. Kallenberg coming up the drive with his four-wheel drive armor-plated thing, you know, one of those things, and he's got it well armored. He's got it really ready to go, gun sticking out all the sides because he has to run the roadblock of those damn Mexicanos down there, and I'll tell you, you know, Jerry the Jew gets all excited when that happens. He's hoping that Dr. Kallenberg gets his ass shot off. Oh, you shut up over there. Get back in the cage. And here's a banana here. Well, Dr. Kallenberg has entered the studio here, the knower of all truth, the the Odinist of the Supreme Order of Thor, or what is it that now?
Well, you can just call me your personal Lord and Savior, Tom.
Oh, he's my personal Lord and Savior.
Praise God,
he's here.
I'm here.
Well, what's been happening, man? I haven't seen you for a while.
I got a goddamn fucking ticket for driving without a seatbelt. You know, they're $300 because California's doing everything they can to take money from white people to pay these goddamn fucking illegal aliens their fucking food and their rent and shit.
Wow.
Can you imagine? Whose business is it if I wear a fucking seatbelt or not?
Well, it's the business of the state to collect the money.
They don't enforce any laws against illegal aliens or anything. They can't even ask them if they're legal or not.
But
if you're an American citizen, being an American citizen, it's almost like a penalty because they can jack you up on anything.
You don't understand. You're an investment of the state.
Oh, I know.
Now, if you die, you can't pay taxes.
I know. Well, it's not even taxes. Yeah. I mean, the tickets are ridiculous.
No. They have to. Well, they get you that way, too, you see. They must do this because it's for the love and the good of your future.
It's good for the Mexicans' future. That's what they're doing. It's a weaselly way to get out of the taxes. The taxes are so high, and they're $38 billion in debt now. So what they do is now everything like a ticket and stuff. They don't even give you a warning. They just slap a ticket on you. $300 for not wearing a seatbelt. How ridiculous can you get? And like you're saying, I think the cop kind of just pulled me over because how did he know that I wasn't wearing one?
Well, of course he didn't know. He's playing the odds.
I know.
Stopped checking you out.
I know.
He profiled you.
He goes, there's a white guy. Let's pull him over and see if we can jack him up.
He saw a large white man in a car and said, I want to see what's in it. Oh, I know why he stopped you. I've looked in the back of your car.
Dead bodies and all kinds of
shit. You remember that scene from Star Wars where they fell in that thing in the dump inside the ship? Well, we're not going to talk too much about Dr. Kaldenberg's car. It looks fine from the outside, but the inside, I don't know.
It's like Musgrove's car.
But anyhow, I think that was probable cause.
I don't think
so. He thought you had dope in there. Or something.
I probably do.
Well, you can sell some of it and make that $300 back real quick.
That's true.
Wow, yeah. Okay, well, that is a pisser.
I know.
And I feel just as bad as you do. In fact, I feel almost as bad, and I didn't even get fined.
Especially as a fucking Mexican pig. It was like,
oh!
I was just getting ready to go, what the fuck's it any of your business, fucking spick?
Yeah.
you know.
Well, why didn't you?
Because they didn't want to get in jail, that's why.
No, you should have carried your gun and had a shootout right there.
I know, I felt
and
like
I'd
it.
Have said, you're an Aryan hero.
I know.
And talked about you for a long time.
I know, a fucking spick giving me a ticket.
We'd have built,
you won't even fucking do anything to illegal aliens.
We'd build a monument for you.
No fucking country.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, man, but you know.
I'm pissed.
Yeah, I understand that, Doc.
I mean, the whole seatbelt law is fucking stupid.
Now, well, there's ways to get around it. You know, you can have that seatbelt just on your shoulder,
yeah,
not even have it around you.
Yeah, I think I just cut the bottom off so I don't have to wear the fucking thing.
Well, just take the seat belt and just, even if it's not hooked at the other end, you just throw it across.
Yeah.
You see, I do that all the time when I'm just going around town. I just throw the damn thing. It looks like it's hooked up because they just look over here on your shoulder.
Yeah,
see?
Sons of bitches.
Well, you know, Dr. Kaldenberg, you have to know the tricks of the trade.
That's true.
Yes. Now, has anything good happened to you today?
No.
This week?
No.
No, not a damn thing good. Well, I'll tell you what, it's been an exciting week. I've been watching the news, and I don't know whether to cry or laugh. You know, there was a guy on television last night. Oh, I know who it was. Michael Caine was on this comedy show, and he said, you know, I get your show over there in England, but he said the first time I saw it, I thought one of your gags was the truth. Because he's sitting there just like a regular newsman. You know that show we watch at 8 o'clock, I guess. Anyhow, he said, and then it took me a while to figure out that it was a joke. But he says, then I begin to figure out how the whole damn news thing is a joke.
Mm-hmm.
It's comedy.
Yes.
It's entertainment.
Yes.
It's a melodrama.
That's true.
It's a soap opera.
That's true.
Yes, sir. I'm telling you. Well, anyhow, we got the big election coming up.
Oh, yeah, the debate tonight.
Are we going to talk about the... Oh, there's a debate tonight?
Yes.
Where Arnold's going to be able to get up there and show how stupid he is.
I know. They're all going to go up and rip him apart and stuff. Even McClintock, he's a Republican, a right-wing Republican Christian.
Yeah.
I mean, what he's going to do is he's going to fuck the vote up because Arnold's got twice as many votes as he does. But actually, with McClintock and Arnold together, there's two Republicans and one Democrat, the Cruz Bustamante. They say that Cruz Bustamante may win. So a lot of Republicans are going to think about voting a no on the recall to keep Davis in office just to keep Cruz Bustamante out.
I don't care what happens, just so it causes a lot of shit.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care, as long as this gets everybody riled up and mad and wanting to hit somebody, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because worse is always better. Remember that, Wyatt.
Organize. Worse is better.
Worse is better. That's right. Now, anyhow, and we got my boy,
mm-hmm.
Cruz Bustamante, mm-hmm. the gravedigger.
Yes.
He's going to be there.
Yes.
He's going to be giving free tacos out to all the Mexicans.
Whoa!
So he'll have the biggest crowd there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cruz is okay. You know what he did? He got the Indians to mm-hmm. give him...
Oh, yeah, casino money.
$6 million or $5 million. And he was happier than a hog in the slop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turned out that that was against the law.
Mm-hmm.
The judge says, hey, Spicklet, Mr. Bustamante, the gravedigger, you got to give the money back to the Indian reservation.
You know what he said?
He said, I've already spent half
exactly.
of it.
He said, you can't give it back.
And the judge says, that's all right. You can pay it back in installments. So, yeah, well, anyhow, that's... I think I'm going to be sitting right on the edge of my desk hoping one of those guys will draw down on the other guy.
Yeah.
We may see something really wild at this thing.
Well, maybe Arnold will throw somebody in the headlights. I'm the Terminator.
Well, why wouldn't he?
Whip out a gun.
If you're losing a debate,
yeah.
you just say, I ain't going to take this shit from you guys. I'm going to kill your head. And then just wipe them out.
Yeah.
Well, everybody think it's a movie anyhow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Most of them do anyway.
Well, anyhow, it's going to be fun. And is that bitch going to be on there, the Greek broad?
Ariana Huffington?
Yeah. This is going to be better
than
Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be all the comedians are going to go nuts with this thing.
Oh, yeah.
Think that she's going to be on there with that damn accent of hers.
Oh, well, same with Arnold and stuff. There's going to be so many accents. It's ridiculous. It's kind of weird. The Mexicans, Bustamante is one of the few people that don't have an accent.
Yeah, I can understand him perfectly.
Well, will Gary Coleman be in the debate?
Well, I don't know, but he showed up at something the other night. The Emmys. Gary Coleman showed up at the Emmys just to get some publicity. Well, that's okay. What are you going to say? Let's watch it and see. I might change my mind and vote for Gary, what's his name?
Coleman. Yes.
How can I forget so quickly?
Or Larry Flint. Actually, I like
Larry.
Stripper.
Wait a minute, the stripper.
Mary Carey?
Yeah, the porno actress.
Yeah,
Mary Carey.
Yeah.
So I want...
She said her campaign is free lap dances for everyone because it relieves tension.
Yeah, that brings me around to the outlawed lap dancing.
Oh,
no,
yeah, I know it was a Mexican council, too.
Oh, what the hell? You know,
well,
I get so sick
Catholics.
Of these church people trying to, you know, who cares whether somebody gets a lap dance?
Well, people aren't connecting that it's Mexicans doing it because you think of Mexicans as being all these liberals and stuff, but even though they're liberal on the economical thing and the immigration, I mean, most of them are really right-wing Catholics.
Well, they're very very conservative on that stuff, and they, you know, down in Honduras and down there, they only got about a 3% homosexual rate compared to what they say 10 up here. 10%.
What's that? The priesthood, the 3%?
Wait a minute! Now you're not going to sit here on my stage and insult the Papa's church.
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay.
I heard that the Pope is getting sick and he may roll a 7.
Well, God, I thought he was dead already. Even when his lips were moving, I thought he was
dead. He's just a puppet in his string.
I don't understand why Jesus don't help that boy.
I think Jesus is out in the Bahamas with little boys and stuff.
Oh, God, you can't come on my show. Can you imagine if they heard this on one of those other services, the Turner Broadcasting, with all those Christians on there? They would crap their pants.
Well, you know Jesus was a fruitcake. The Last Supper, the first thing he did is he wanted to get drunk with his friends and wash their feet and stuff. You know, what kind of a guy would want to do that?
The first thing was the turning the water into wine.
No, that wasn't the Last Supper. That wasn't the Last Supper. The Last Supper.
I say the first thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Last Supper, he knew he was going to get executed, and the first thing he wanted to do was to get drunk with his disciples and wash their feet.
I hate to disturb your way of thinking, but that has nothing, that Last Supper has nothing to do with anything real happening.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
It represents the what do you call it?
It's a fairy tale.
No, it's about the...
allegory of the
astrological
mm-hmm.
thing. You got four months, you got four guys over here, you got four guys here, you got four guys here, and you got the sun in the
mm-hmm.
middle.
Yeah.
and you got Judas the backbiter. It's all about astrology. It has nothing to do with a real supper. They didn't have a supper. They all went to McDonald's that night. Christ, tell the truth, will you? You know, on that lap dancing thing?
Mm-hmm.
I went with a guy one time down in San Diego, and he went. He took me to one of these clubs, and they were doing that lap dancing. And
yeah.
I guess they pay those girls about $20 a lap dance.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to it. I mean, all they do is you get around them and dance around them and get close and rub them.
Mm-hmm.
And what the hell fun is that? You get all hot and bothered, and you can't do anything. I mean, then there's no prostitution, so. What's the end of all this crap?
Well, I don't know.
I heard you've been to one of those places.
I'm not talking. I take the fifth.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I just don't understand why. You know, I sort of like watching a porno film and then not having sex.
Well, you know, the thing is,
I don't understand these
when
people.
When I was working in the oil fields in Bakersfield, like a lot of us guys would go to, you know, like Sin is on Edison Avenue. It's kind of outside of Bakersfield. It's almost like the old time days when they had red light districts.
Yeah.
So all the strip joints and stuff are on Edison Avenue, were at least in the 80s. So we used to go there and get drunk and party. It's great when you're with a lot of guys. Like I say, it's kind of boring when you're by yourself because, you know, when you're with the kind of guys and you're drunk and stuff, it's a lot of fun to go to strip clubs. But
yourself, strip clubs.
The only people that go by themselves are actually perverts.
Well, the dancers, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some of those dancers, you know, they're really nice and good looking and it's very well done. But this lap dancing... I don't care if they lap dance, but I sure as hell wouldn't give. Give a gal $20 to have her just sort of wiggle around on your lap? You do it all the time. I can see by the look in your face.
Well, it's great.
It's
great redneck male bonding. Like if you go with a bunch of guys and you're getting drunk, it's a great time. But like I say, if you go by yourself. You know, like only perverts go by themselves to strip clubs. You know, if you go with guys, like I say, it's almost like going to a football game.
Wait a minute.
Football games are boring.
Everybody's a pervert that goes by themselves to a strip club?
Yeah.
That don't make sense. Why would they be a pervert?
Probably because you're just going to jerk off or something.
Wait a minute. What are you doing to this show? You're dragging us down into the nether.
But it's just like football.
Oh,
football
my God.
Is a lot of fun
if
you're with a bunch of guys who are drinking. But if you go by yourself, sitting all by yourself in the stadium, is boring as hell.
Well, if you're on the up there by the ring and the gals are coming down there and doing their little thing and you're stuffing money in them, that's not boring for one guy. Now, I haven't done that, I must say, but I ain't giving nobody no money. I'm tighter than an old maid's kiss.
Yeah.
I don't give nobody. I'm not like David Duke.
Yeah.
I ain't taking our money and putting it down some gal's panties.
Yeah.
I want the, boy, I'll tell you.
I'd
like to see your face if a gal was doing lap dance on you because you blush real easy.
That's true.
You blush real easy.
True.
I'd go along and get a picture of that.
That's
put it
true.
In on the front page of our newspaper. Here we go.
Oh, anyway, talking about strip clubs, a friend of mine in Bakersfield, they had a Chippendales, which is a male strip club where women goes.
Yeah.
I didn't do this, but he told me he used to go like 2 o'clock in the morning when all these girls got all worked up and they're drunk and stuff. He just kind of stand out there by his car, and he said, "You'd be surprised about the fine tail he'd pick up." I was gonna do it. Then they shut down Chippendales.
Well, that's taking advantage of those women.
So all fair in love and war.
Oh, and sex.
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
Well, Chip, if you got Chippendales, hit it at 2 in the morning, closing time.
I can't stay up till 2 in the morning just to get.
Well, you're not single.
Oh,
if you're single, you could.
Well, I don't know. I don't think I would then. If I can't get him in the rack by 10 o'clock, forget it. Dr. Collenberg, now let's move on.
Come okay. On. Oh, I heard some great news.
Let's get our Aryan minds out of the gutter.
That's not the gutter. Oh. You don't know what the gutter is.
Oh.
Okay, you know Hank Williams Sr.?
Yeah.
They found 42 of his previously unknown songs.
They always
42.
They do this at everybody. The Beatles, everybody.
I'm in hog heaven.
They probably got somebody who didn't, you know, that sang those. I bet it's not even him.
Oh, don't say that. You're killing me.
Oh, you got them yet?
Not yet, but they'll release them.
Well,
And then I'll make a bootleg copies
of
them.
Well, I'll be happy. You got to make bootleg.
Goddamn right.
They're going to find your ass.
Oh,
they're catching people like
I heard. I heard about that 12-year-old girl that they said they're going to fight her and stuff.
Yeah, and she told them, "I'm a 12-year-old girl. And I'm doing it just for the nursery rhymes," and they wanted $2,000.
Yeah.
And the comedian said, "They said, oh, we're sorry, make it $1,900. Now the paper's coming out. What do we got? A lot of good stuff in the October paper.
I just finished it about 20 minutes ago.
Boy, oh boy. I bet it's hot, huh?
Yes, indeed.
Boy, those people out there, they better start subscribing and getting that newspaper because there ain't another one like it around.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, there's none of these. You know, all these other ones are tinged with the right wing or religion or something like that, you know. Ours is the only one that really hits it between the eyes.
What other monthly newspaper is there that you're talking about?
Well, maybe you're right there. I don't think there is another monthly newspaper except the Lies at Last.
Oh, is that still going on?
Yeah. You know, and he would never put that our kind of stuff in his paper. Yeah.
No, he's still got those things about a woman bred with an ape in Mexico or something like that. They've been running stories like that for like 30 years.
Like the National Enquirer.
It is a lot like the National Enquirer.
Yeah, I don't think he's got many subscriptions anymore, but a lot of those Southern boys still like that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, they always say, the niggas are coming, but now they're overwhelmed with Mexicans.
Oh, really? No, sure.
Oh, that's Mexicans here.
Yeah.
Oh, no shit, Sherlock. Probably the niggers will run the Mexicans out before the war.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we got several loyal callers who call in on the show, and I think it's time to put them on.
Okay, let's do it.
As always, you bring up many good points. I think something to ponder even more about is how could these guys, so successful, so rich, having accomplished so much, like Mel Gibson and Schwarzenegger, be just such cowards? And in striking Oldenburg, whose economic futures are not secured, how could they be so brave? I mean, what a striking contrast. You know, Braveheart, my ass. Terminator, my ass. Great show, gentlemen. Bye.
Well, I think it is like down through history, is that the people that have stuff are afraid of losing it, and then people that don't have anything don't give a shit. So I think that's a big factor. Is, you know, the right wing always want to convert all these rich people, but psychologically, rich people are afraid of losing everything. So that's why they're pretty worthless.
Yeah, it's 99% materialism.
Yeah.
Strictly, I got mine, I'm not going to lose it, because if I said this and if I did that, I'd lose everything I've got.
You know, like all those guys, if we were in power and if they said something wrong, if they were advocating race mixing, if they thought they would lose their money, I mean, they'd be the biggest Nazis around. Well, actually, they were in the Third Reich. You know, a lot of the capitalists were the biggest Nazis because they didn't want the Nazis to take their money.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of people who hated Hitler in Germany that they went along with the program.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, they sure did. So that's the simple reason, is just status and materialism,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, white, I know what you mean about that Eminem white nigga there. And TT, I mean, the Order and Robert Matthews, maybe they should have revamped their targets. They should have, like, been targeting these race-mixing athletes or these race-mixing rappers. I mean, I know the boys behind the wire, the Order, they wouldn't put up with this shit. With little white nigga Eminem, these people running around the street acting the way they're acting. And sorry for taking up your tape last time. But anyhow, hey, why was golf invented? So white guys can dress like niggas. How does a spit take a bath? Sits in the bathtub while four of the spits stand around him and spit on him. All right, guys, take care, huh? And Tommy, I hope I see you guys out at the Hale trial. Brother God needs our support no matter what we do. We've got to get out there and support our brother. And all these other people around, listen to this message in the Midwest. Keep your asses out there. Never mind.
Yeah, I think we should, everybody that can, get out there to that trial of Matt Hale starting November 3rd, if everything goes according to schedule, but it's a small courtroom, I guess, and the attorney says you got to better be there early or won't get a seat, and I'd hate to see people come from across the country and then not be able to get in, and I think they make it at small courtrooms for security reasons. They're afraid the Aryan underground army's going to get them.
Yeah. It'd be like the Sculpt's Monkey trial here. That it was so many people wanted to go to that. They all had to be outside, and they didn't have microphones back then. So some guy had to run out every couple minutes and tell them what's going on and stuff.
They had a megaphone, I think, or something like that. Yeah. Well, anyhow, the orders deal going after these perverts. No, that wasn't their deal. Their main deal was raising money for the movement.
Yeah.
And the Alan Berg killing, if they did it, was a real off-the-wall side issue, and it actually...
That was kind of a mistake, because I think Bird would actually serve us better if they kept him on the radio, because he's such an obnoxious guy.
Well, I knew guys, people from Denver, and said most of the people in the town hated Bird. Yeah. You know,
the thing is, and then once he got greased, then he became a saint, you know?
Yeah, and I think it speeded up the big investigation, too, than if the boys would have kept to just raising the money. Well, who knows? How can you Monday morning quarterback that kind of stuff?
That's the same thing like with Martin Luther King, though. If he would have not gotten assassinated, he'd probably just be like Al Sharpton now.
You know,
I mean, I remember everybody used to hate his guts, and then once he got caught a bullet and stuff, then he became like Jesus Christ or something, you know?
Yeah, there's something to be said about that.
Same with Kennedy. People used to hate Kennedy when he was president.
Hey, that reminds me. There's a new book out, and I forget the name of the man who wrote it, but he swears up and down that LBJ was the one who had Kennedy killed. And I'll tell you what, I heard him talking on the radio the one night, and he draws a pretty good case because he worked in the attorney's office that they said was the ringleader of the thing. And I'm going to get the book. Because it makes a lot of sense. You know, Johnson was accused of killing two other people, you know, early on in his career.
Well, he had the thing, the Phoenix program in Vietnam, where they killed 20,000 Vietnamese, and it was an assassination thing. So he had a real thing for assassinating people.
Well, down in Duval County, allegedly, he had one man killed early on in his career. And then I remember the Billy Saul Estes deal, and that was a big farm, big agricultural fraud deal. This Billy Saul Estes was getting federal money and buying these big grain storage buildings.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, the one guy was killed, and they said it was suicide, but they found 8 slugs in his back.
Yeah.
How can, I mean, and they let it go.
Yeah.
They said it was suicide.
You know, Oliver Stone.
How can you shoot with a rifle?
Yeah.
Shoot your ass in the back.
Maybe
eight,
he just wanted
times.
To die. He just didn't want to die.
Oh,
Oliver Stone, his JFK and his Nixon thing. He really kind of implies that it was Johnson that did it. And Nixon more so than JFK. You know, they have a thing in there where Nixon kind of knew that it was Johnson, but he was afraid that Johnson didn't want to get whacked and stuff.
Well, and guess what? Another thing I heard about the other day. Do you know they took Kennedy's brain? And they put it in the archive someplace.
Yeah.
It's missing.
Uh-oh.
Isn't that interesting?
They stole Kennedy's brain.
Because there's things that they can find out from the brain, even at a late date. You know?
There was a science fiction movie, I think it was called Hitler's Brain is Missing or something.
Yeah. Somebody put it in a jar.
Yeah,
and
jar.
Got it going again.
Yeah, yeah.
They put a jump starter on it.
Yeah,
and got
that was
going
a bizarre
again.
Movie.
Yeah, well, wouldn't that be hell to be... Do you think they're going to save our brain, Wyatt?
Oh, I don't know. Probably.
Well, hell, I mean, we know quite a bit of stuff.
Yeah, torture us.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's another thing. You know, this Guantanamo Bay thing?
Yeah.
All that is so they can torture those guys.
Oh, they found out that...
Any time it's offshore, they can torture.
They found out, it was in the paper today, that one of the Arab translators at the bay there... he was supposed to translate for the army to talk to all these terrorist guys. Well, he was a spy, and he was feeding information back to Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
The Air Force translator.
He was a gook. That was a Chinaman. Yi was his name.
Oh, they said in the paper he was an Arab.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, today they said that...
The guy that was arrested... Well, no. I think there's two people been arrested.
Well, he was arrested today.
Well, this was the guy they arrested a couple of days ago. Yi. He was a chaplain.
Mm-hmm.
And they found all this stuff about the drawings of the cells and all this kind of stuff. I was in the Army with a Yi.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? If you look at a San Francisco telephone book, there's about 50 pages of Yi.
Oh, yeah. That's
a
common name.
How could you find one of those little bastards? Anyhow, that's, I don't know. What are they implying he was doing? Getting ready for a mass breakout or something? How are they going to get out of Guantanamo?
Well, my understanding is he was sending information back to Al-Qaeda. Maybe he was telling them who was dropping a dime and who wasn't or something. Maybe that's what the deal was.
Well, that sounds logical. But what is the Oriental being into Islam anyhow for? Why isn't he a Buddhist?
The way I heard it, it was an Arab.
There are two different guys been arrested in the last few days.
Maybe that's
the one I'm talking about is a Chinaman.
Yeah.
Now, what the hell's he doing?
Yeah.
They got
that Oriental Muslims, too.
So. Oh, man.
I think that with the with everything that's going on in California right now with that racist Hispanic governor, and you said the whites have been protesting and so forth, you should run for office, governor or some sort of office in California, maybe a more local one, maybe one in Northern California. At any rate, whether you won or not, I think that would generate a lot of publicity, and I think you'd have a lot more support nowadays if what you say is true, that they've been drawing swastikas on fences and shit. So, you know, I'd love to see you run. And anyway, I think that'd be great.
Well, number one, to run in a field of, 1,000 people, wasn't it?
No, I think it's 100 and something.
Oh, not 1,000, 150 people, yeah. Right? Well, that's crazy unless you got a really big budget, you know. Mm-hmm. And even my notoriety is not going to get anywhere in a field of 150. If Gary Coleman can't get any press, how can I get press? Yeah. Anyhow, and then another thing is this misconception. Now, we got all these white people who want to save the white race, but where in the hell's the money?
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say.
It's $3,500 fucking bucks to even sign up to run and then everything else. And everybody says, well, you should run. Well, where in the hell am I going to get the money?
Well, that's the thing. When you're talking about the movement, basically you got people who just want to go and party and stuff. And when you talk about something like that, who's going to collect the names? Who's going to put up the money? It's me and you.
Yeah.
There's really nobody else.
That's the way it works.
If we were throwing a party, I mean, we could have people coming out yin-yang.
But if you
want to knock on doors and do campaigning, everybody disappears.
Yeah, that's what tickles me when they have what they call the American Nazi Party.
Yeah.
It's not a party because they don't go out.
The cake party.
They don't go out in the neighborhoods and sign people.
No.
They don't get on the ballot hardly, you know, or anything else like that. It takes a lot of work. I've been in political party building, American Independent Party and other things like that. And I used to go out and canvass the neighborhoods and sign people up and take people to the polls. That's what builds a party.
Well, you know, compare this movement to the left. Like when I was working on the Tom Hayden campaign, the whole thing, meetings lasted 45 minutes, and you went there and the leader basically hand out job assignments. And they would say, well, who wants to take Oak Street to 56th Street? And people raise their hands and say, I'll do that. And say, who wants to work the malls? I'll do that. You know, it wasn't any socialized. After 45 minutes, or if all the work assignments were gone, the meeting ended. You know, these meetings, people just want to go and shoot the shit, and nobody wants to work. If you put a work assignment on somebody, they'll look at you like you're fucking crazy.
Well, that's the old right wing.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no use even having meetings because they don't do anything.
Yeah.
Now they will do something once in a while, like the National Alliance. I guess they put out thousands of pieces of literature down in Phoenix someplace. Mm-hmm. But what does that do? All these white people come out, and it gives them an excuse to hate the National Alliance people, and it's their excuse to say, well, you know, we're not like them, even though subconsciously a hell of a lot of them are racist, and you know, there's hardly any of them ever going to join anything. Yeah. And if they do join, what do? They go to a damn meeting and drink coffee.
Eat donuts.
There's no revolutionary activity.
Well, I got a book called Organize. It's a left-wing guide to grassroots organizing. And they give different examples of meetings in there. And one example of a left-wing meeting is the leader. They say always have a topic. And the leader, the topic this month will be fundraising. So people come up with different ideas of fundraising. And then who can go out and do these jobs, not just come out with I like right-wing, they all come up with 10,000 great ideas. They say, well, what are you going to do to make this idea a reality? They say, well, that's what I was hoping you would do. You know, I got all these ideas in the head, and you would make them into reality.
Well, then you got to, you know, be willing to go out, and actually, you should follow the people around who are supposed to be doing it and make sure they do it.
You know,
the communists did that.
Oh, yeah, you know?
They would give a guy an assignment, by God, you better do it.
What I like is, you know, every now and then you get a call from a crazy person who says, Tom, I have all your money problems solved, and just meet with me. And you meet with him, and it's some kooky fucking crackpot idea, and of course, he would never do it. It's you
got
to do it.
Oh, I just got one of those the other day. If I just go up to the Portland courts up there, and if I would use this sort of weird-ass deal approach and, you know, those citizen things and all that stuff, and I'd apply this and I'd apply that and I'd fill out this document, no sweat. You'd get off the hook. They give you all your money back, everything, no sweat. Yeah. Bullshit.
Whenever a white racist says, we got to do something. What it really means is anybody but fucking me.
Well, yeah, I get that all the time. They're always saying, we got to do something. And I say, well.
And we means anybody but me.
And I say, there are no hooks in your ass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you ever read the book Hunter? Read the book Hunter. You don't have to have a leader. You know, and that's why I say a lone wolf. A lone wolf is simply a self-starter that gets something in his mind that should be done. He don't call anybody. Yeah. He don't go to any goddamn meeting. He just goes out and does it.
Well,
now, what is so hard about that? But it's these cowards, like you say, mm-hmm. who say, oh, we ought to do this. Mm-hmm. You ought to do that.
Yeah.
But they don't do anything.
Oh, yeah.
They don't even put out literature.
Well, their job is to sit down in their room and come up with all these great ideas. I mean, they've got 10 millions of ideas bouncing off their ass. It's just that they can never make one into reality.
Well, and the biggest occupation, too, is rumor mongering and chat rooms on the Internet.
Oh, yeah.
Where they go in there and they, yeah, back and forth. And then they cry, well, can't we get together? Can't we work together? Who wants to work together with this morons?
Well, if you go to those chat rooms, people are always saying, well, we got to do this, and we got to do that, and we got to do this, and we got to do that. But nobody ever does it.
They all got mice in their pocket.
Yeah, they're waiting for somebody else. Actually, that's why they like Hitler so bad, because they want Big Daddy to come down. And they think that Hitler stood on every fucking street corner and handed out every piece of literature. Because if they have a Hitler, they won't have to do any work, because they won't have to do anything.
Well, that's why they worship Hitler.
Oh, yeah.
He single-handedly stepped out, and National Socialism took over.
Yeah, the way they talk about Hitler was like there was nobody else in the Third Reich that did anything. It was just Hitler.
Well, they almost put guns at their head and said, you do it or you get blown away.
Well, the Nazi Party, the way they raised money in the 20s and 30s is everybody stood on street corners and basically panhandled. You begged. Can you imagine anybody in the race movement spending 5-6 hours a day with a swastika around their neck and coffee can and asking for money?
Yeah, well, what they did, too, the Nazi Party, when the paper came out, their weekly or monthly...
Oh, yeah, they all hawked it on the street, yeah.
They had to take so many hundred papers, so many papers, they had to pay for them out of their own pocket and then get their money back by selling them on the street.
And then
now, can you imagine with a war paper, if I send guys out with 200 or 300 papers to stand on a corner?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, they'd have 5,000 excuses not to.
Well, that's what I was thinking of, the book. Or, you ought to get that book, Organized. It's called Organizing a Grassroots Strategy. Well, they talk about a meeting about how to raise money. If we had a meeting on how to raise money, the first thing they do is, oh, what is he, some kind of crook? What does he want money for? He doesn't need that money.
He's a patriot for profit. Anybody
movements don't need money.
Anything, you know? Yeah, that's a right winger. They're all anti-communist, but they sound just like communists.
You know the classic line when we had the Otis Felsen when Ziggy was running it? One of these guys, he said, Ziggy would pass the hat around and get about $20 a week. And one of these guys says, what does Ziggy do with those $20? I said, well, he's rented this house. He lives in San Francisco. He rented the house in Woodland Hills. It costs you $1,200 a month. He feeds all you people. He does all this stuff. That $20 isn't a drop in the bucket, you know. And then they go, immediately he said, well, then he must be a cop. Where would the money come from?
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking, well, Ziggy owned a motorcycle repair shop in San Francisco, and from his he hired a guy to handle that, so he'd come down to L.A. to organize people. It had to have been something, because it couldn't be nothing could be going right, you know.
Yeah. Either
he was a crook or he was a cop.
And all leaders are crooks because they got...
Or cops.
They try to get some money.
Or foremen.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the big things in the racial struggle,
mm-hmm.
especially among the right wing.
Yeah.
That any time you try to get money, you're a patriot for profit, you're a crook.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know,
and even with David Duke, and David Duke and I have had our differences, but I mean way back. And they used to say, well, he's just a patriot for profit. But let me say this. I said David Duke had the talent that if he'd have done it right, he could have been making a fortune in the Fortune 500.
Yeah.
Duke had the ability to make a lot of money not being
money.
In this movement at all.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that's interesting about that. You know?
He's complicated.
Like I say, he's a complicated guy, but he, you know, I said, you guys are accusing him of this and that, but hell, he could, he was college educated. He could have gone to any of the corporations, made plenty of money, especially with his line of bullshit.
Well, he's definitely a big Shell
but then
oil
I can't
too,
understand
so.
Why he would piss around in the racist movement, even writing books and stuff, and then go out and spend all the money.
Well,
don't even make sense.
I think, you know, Duke is real complicated. I think one part of him is a true believer, and another part of him is a bit of a scoundrel.
Sort of the sort of this, like the seven faces of Eve.
Yeah, it's kind of bipolar.
Yeah, you know. That's probably true. Okay. Boy, we emailed, didn't we? I've always said I can put almost any program you want together if you help me finance it. I mean, if you want a $500 program, I'll build you a $500. Yeah. You want a $10,000 program, I'll build you a $10,000.
Well, you always got more bang for the buck. They give you $500, you give them $5,000 in a return.
Look,
you know.
When I ran for Congress, you know, I did that by stealth and by surprise and snuck up on them and all that kind of stuff. I didn't spend hardly any money. And you know, I only had a handful of guys behind me. And, you know, when it came to the money...
Yeah.
Well, hell, there wasn't hardly any money.
No.
There wasn't hardly any money, and hell, if I'd had $1 million like these other guys, I might have been a congressman.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, I'm glad I didn't become a congressman because I would end up killing myself as an enemy of the Aryan race.
A lot of people in the race movement, psychologically, they want it to fail because I think they join the race movement because there's a lot of security if you're on the bucket, at the bottom of the bucket, because there's no place left to fall. It's kind of like failure is a security blanket to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Remember the, Oceanside riot?
Yeah.
After that, you know, that was one of the greatest victories the Klan ever had. And people just took off. I mean, it was like they were scared, you know, their tail between their legs, and they disappeared.
Every time we had a success, we lost people.
Yeah, because like I say, they're afraid, because once you have a success, what do they do from here? You say, maybe I have to take an office. Maybe I got to get a job. Maybe people are going to expect stuff from me. I got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, it was real discouraging.
Oh, yeah.
After every major victory we had, we lost a lot of people.
Oh, remember that guy from Narco? Narco?
Yeah.
Oh, God, well, he was with you, and then he came back up to the Odinus Fellowship in L.A., and he was with you until you had victories. Then he got scared, then he came up with us, and then he's with us until we did something right. Then he got really scared and took off, you know?
Yeah, he was a middle-class type, and had a place out there and had some money.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he had quite a bit of money.
Well, anyhow, that's the way it goes.
Yes.
Yeah, Tom, I sent you a clipping from Arizona called The Great Secret Among the Hispanics, and the Mestizo, the dark-skinned Hispanics, are praising hell because all the white Hispanics are in power positions, and that they look down on the non-white Hispanics, in other words, the Mestizo. So I don't know if you read that article, but it's very true, and I think that's, if we can get these white Hispanics to come our way, I think we could really do some good, but I don't know if it can be done or not. Anyway, keep up the good work.
Yeah, well, like I said many times, if there were any white Europeans on the earth, there'd still be plenty of racism because the differences between the races and the different colorings of the races, and people would still be very racist and probably more racist than because I think it's the non-whites now who push racism more than whites, actually.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So anyhow, and then as far as the white Hispanics, as long as they're really white, we surely have been working with them for a long time, but we should have more, especially in South America. You look at South American television, especially Chile and down that way, and all you see is blondes and good-looking chicks. And you look on our TV, and all you see is Negroes, and now you got the damn Miss America. Black. I mean, isn't that something?
Oh, I was watching a TV. You know, the sheriff of Nottingham in England?
Yeah.
He's this ugly, ugly, looks like Whoopi Goldberg nigger. And they had a ritual where they're dressed in heraldry, you know, old-time heraldry.
Yeah.
That's a very Aryan thing. And here's this nigger and this heraldry, these family shields he didn't deserve. And he's riding on a horse with these white guys in heraldry. I mean, it was a bizarre-looking sight. And the English think it's fine.
Well, where's Robin Hood now? He could put an arrow between his
eyes. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, one thing good, the Miss America contest now is it's got the lowest ratings it's ever had. The ratings are terrible because I think white people are subconsciously just turning it off, you know. They'll use another excuse, but the real excuse is racism.
So white people don't want to see Whoopi Goldberg in a bikini?
No, I
don't. How about Oprah?
Oprah? Oh, God. Save me.
Why do you condemn Christianity, Judaism, or anything else? Why is it any of your business what religion somebody believes or whether one doesn't believe in any religion? It's a completely private thing. What the hell is wrong with you?
Well, that's Jerry the Jew's grandpa, and he's out there again giving us a bunch of crap. Now, look, what do you mean it's a private thing? collectively when they brainwash millions of people and they infiltrate every government in the world, Judaism and Christianity, and then they are able to suppress us. Don't tell me it's a private thing. It's a collective dictatorship.
Well, the thing is, a good example is what we were talking about earlier, and that's like the lap dances in L.A. Because of fucking Christians, first lap dances were legal. And now if you go to a lap dance, you can go to jail. And it's just because of Christianity. It's not a private thing because their ideas affect us.
Yeah.
And Christianity has been affecting us for 2,000 years.
Well, look at drugs, too. It was a Christian church that started all this stuff back in 1919 to pass the bill to where you couldn't buy the drugs over the counter.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't have that much problem with drugs back then. But no, the Christians have to ban it or cause it to be banned. And then all of a sudden you got this so-called drug war whole bit. And that's causing...
Gave birth to the mafia.
Yeah, so don't tell me, you can't tell me, Jew, that Christianity and Judaism isn't affecting everybody's life by invading our individual rights. If it was an individual right thing, I wouldn't be so bothered, but it's not. It's a collective right thing to oppress everybody else. Well, it's just like as Islam oppresses those people. Can you imagine over there in North Africa trying to be an individual to do anything, drink a beer, get a little, have sex, cut your head off?
The Muslims, what they're doing now is they're if you're like a black pagan and stuff, the Muslims, they capture little girls, they sell them to sex slaves. Like Nigeria's full of slaves and stuff, and the slaves are all pagans and the fucking Muslims doing it. And you notice how we don't attack Buddhists. Because the Buddhists sit on a monastery and they hum and they chant, and that doesn't affect me. It's just the Jews and the Muslims and the Christians.
Yeah, there's no separation of church and state in this country, and it's the false mores, the Christian church, is causing most of the troubles in this country, along with their buddies, the Jews, like that old bastard.
I just wanted to know who or what are the Black Irish? Again, who or what are the Black Irish?
Well, the Black Irish right now are the niggers, because they're all moving into Ireland.
Well, the Black Irish, when the English sunk the Spanish Armada, there were sailors that they swam ashore to Ireland. After they swam ashore, they were Catholics, and the Irish were Catholics, and they married the Catholics. That's why they got the Black Irish. Same with the Black Dutch, that Spain used to own parts of Holland and stuff, and the soldiers, like, they intermarried with Dutch people, and that's why you got the Black Dutch and stuff.
You know, the Moors got all the way up there to Holland,
yeah.
You know, because I was in a church in Holland when I was in the army that had been burnt to the ground during that time.
Oh, yeah, Spain occupied Holland. I remember my dad used to hate the Spaniards because they were cruel and all the shit they did to Holland.
Yeah. Incidentally, during that last go-round, we had a military helicopter coming over making all kinds of noise. We had to stop. And that reminds me of one thing to remind you of. Look, if you think that this military wouldn't be used against you one of these days, you got another thinking coming, because if they came out to get you, they'd send the military out if the police didn't come, and your Christian neighbors out here would be cheering them on drag you away. So you better start clinging together with other racists and forget all this bullshit about supporting the government and the military and our troops and all that crap.
Police.
Those troops will be used. When they come back, a lot of them will become policemen, FBI agents, and everything else.
Yeah.
And they love to fry your ass. I hope you got that straight.
Hey, how about a new shirt? I got an idea. On the front, we'll have a picture of a church burning to the ground. And we'll say, hate is great, on the back. Now they say, fight the hate is great. And another thing, now that these cards out in Iraq of all these leaders they want over there, wanted, why don't we start making toilet paper like George Bush, Donner, Dumsfeld, Ashtray, and we take a shit, we can wipe our ass with it. You know? And it's the same with that flag that they all represent, all these white wingers are sticking up for. Oh, the flag, patriotism. That's the same flag that killed their ancestors in Nuremberg. It's the same flag in this country that put the order behind bars. These guys got to wake up, I'm telling you. Just sounds like David Duke out here dancing around, singing songs like a gigolo nigga with his outfit on, talking shit, and he's going to get off with a slap on the wrist. And he probably set them all up, too, the foolish bastards. Anyhow, I hope you guys are doing well up there on the West Coast. East Coast here is going real good. Vacancies everywhere. Unemployment's up. Time for the White Workers' Party to rise up and form, Tommy. The unions are selling everybody down the river, just like the West Coast. You know, these hotels got these third world niggas working in there with the wreck packs. pick and span the floor. It's great. It's all right. This is the way you want it. Worse is better. Take care, guys.
Hey, I hear Staten Island's taking off, man. Big Whoa. Stories out there. All kinds of racist activity on Staten Island.
That was always a pretty hotbed for even like in the 20s and 30s and stuff.
Well, it was, you know, when I was there in the 50s, it was like being out in the country. You could look across, see all the high rise over in, on Manhattan, mm-hmm. but you were like out in the country.
The German-American Bund was really big there. Even though it wasn't Bob Miles who said he was in a Russian nationalist group, and they got fist fights with the Jews on the subway in New York and stuff.
Well, yeah, Bob Miles, I think, though, lived in the Bronx or someplace like that. That was back when it was white. You know, and like that. Of course, I think the Nordland camp was for the Nazis was out on Long Island. But Staten Island's been a holdout for white people, but now they're calling it the bastion of white racism because a few whites resist all these niggers. And I read the articles where they interviewed the white kids, and they say, when one of those blacks walk down this, come into this town, we watch them. Because why are they here? And they're probably up to no good.
Yeah.
And they usually are.
Oh, yeah.
So anyhow, our hat goes off to the guys in Staten Island, man. Raise that flag.
Yeah.
That part of the show where you talked about there is more possibilities for white babies to be made for adoption. On CBS News one night last year, they talked about this issue, and they called the white baby the Gerber baby. And it also was pointed out how much money a white baby, Gerber baby, was worth at an adoption agency. Some of our lady fellow travelers, they ought to get into the adoption business, make a living at this. There's plenty of white babies out there. We got to go halfway around the world to find them, but they're there. Thanks.
Well, I think if you start trying to bring them in from outside the country, they're going to have that pretty well controlled where a bunch of Jews.
Well, my big question is why can't white women make babies instead of going halfway around the world?
Well, I think he was talking about that, too. Instead of aborting them, go to term with them. And then if they don't want the baby, then let the baby out for adoption. And, you know, $50,000-$60,000.
Yeah.
That's about what a good white baby would bring.
You take fertility drugs and have triplets, and you know, get about $200,000 for.
I understand these white women, you know, they just you know, even from a practical standpoint, just throw away the baby.
Yeah.
When they could be getting enough money to go to college, all
well,
that.
You know, it just shows the mentality of people, because they've constantly had this shit that, oh, you're not complete unless you get a career. Women have to have careers. So they'll get a job working at McDonald's making probably $16,000 a year when they can get pregnant and get $60,000 a year.
Well, it costs them a hell of a lot more than $16,000 a year even to pay the babysitter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in like working at McDonald's, like if you had the baby and sold it, you get $60,000 for it.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't be a career. That's not flipping burgers at McDonald's.
You know why they ain't doing that? Because the Jews on TV haven't told them to do it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I know.
The Jews have to tell you it's a good idea before you do it.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the state we're in. We're crumbling fast. We're in a tailspin. It won't be long now, right?
Yes, and that's the fallacy of democracy, because the ideas does not come up from the, you know, the German idea was the ideas come up from the folk from the bottom up.
Right.
They've always come from the top down.
Yeah.
And, you know, right now, there's no folk on the top. There's just kikes and scumbags on the top. So all these ideas are coming from the top down to the folk, and they're all coming from the kikes and the, you know, the Britney Spears and the, you know, with Eminem and all these fuckers.
Yeah, that's it. And most of the top guys that are non-Jew are morons.
Oh, yeah.
Look at Bush. Did you hear what he said to the UN the other night?
I can imagine.
He says, we got to stop sexual tourism. He said, that was in his speech.
Hold it. How do you get involved in sexual tourism?
Well, he was saying all
the
stuff we had to stop, and some of it, you know, terrorism, da-da-da. And they said, sexual tourism. And I said, what the hell is on him? How are you going
to
stop sexual
tourism? What does it mean? You mean some guy can't go to L.A. to go to a striptease club? Is that what he's talking about?
No, I think he's talking about going on, you know, to Europe or something and having sex or something, or maybe Thailand, of course, you know. That,
well, I can see stopping and going.
Well, I can see that, too. But what the hell is he talking about with all the problems we've got talking about sexual tourism?
It's pretty bizarre, because I've never even heard of sexual tourism.
Well, I heard him say it right on TV. In fact, those guys, the comedians, were making all kinds of fun about it, you know.
That's the sexual, the, this accident, guy is the a, accidental sexual tourist.
This guy, they were preparing him for that speech for a month.
Yeah.
and they've prepared him right up until the time he gave it, and he still fucked it up. This guy is a moron.
Well, I heard a speechwriter was going to put in there, we have to stop adolescents from masturbating, but they crossed it out. They thought that was too extreme for the government.
He might have said that, too, but his speech is not that good,
Yeah, maybe the Homeland Security problem can stop 12-year-olds.
Well, he's not anti-Semitic. He's anti-Semantic.
Yeah.
I think I've done exhausted my intellectual capacity for today. How about you?
Yes.
Dr. Kaldenberg, the knower of all truth?
Yes.
All truth.
Let's play some rock and roll or something.
Let's play some rock and roll.
Or at least a real country, not the shit you like.
Wait a minute. you know what happened last time? Yeah, right. I'm watching.
Like some good old hillbilly music.
Yeah, well, you used to didn't like hillbilly music. I like hillbilly music.
I always liked hillbilly. I just didn't.
Your dad liked hillbilly music.
Starting since about the late 70s, I started liking hillbilly music.
Now you're in your second childhood, you begin to like hillbilly music. Okay, well, that's it. Later.